from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me for this hour. But from this cause I came into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness know not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing from the Gospel of John. And now from Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare my name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and as of his eternal word. Jesus, in the midst of his preaching and all the wondrous and glorious things that he was doing, suddenly is confronted by some Gentiles, some Greeks who have come to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. And they hear about Jesus. Everywhere they go, somebody is talking about Jesus. Everywhere they go, somebody's saying, he healed me, he delivered me, he took care of me. Everywhere they go, they're talking about this man from Galilee called Jesus of Nazareth. And these people come and they want to know about this Jesus. I wonder what it would be like to walk down the street, Parisburg, tomorrow and run into Jesus. Wonder what it would be like to go out the door here and find Jesus walking down the road of Clendenin. What would we think? How would we react to it? Would we run from him? Would we run to him? Would we just stand with our mouths open, catching flies and watching? What would we do? What would be our reaction if we could see Jesus? What if you opened the door in the morning and he was standing at your door? What if you came in your living room and found that Jesus had come in and sat down in your living room and was waiting on you and talking to you? I suppose a dream that I had many years ago will never leave me. I was over at our house in Selco Heights and heard somebody at the back door and went to the door. And when I opened the door, Barbara Gilmer was standing at the door. And she said very simply, Eddie, he's here. And when I looked down, the Lord was sitting on a bench under the apple tree in the yard. And I ran through the yard as fast as I could run. And he was sitting down, and I fell down on the ground and buried my face in the pit of his stomach and wrapped my arms around him, and he put his arms around me. And I said, I've waited so long for you to get here, and I'm so glad to see you. I got up the next morning and I thought, of course I was awake by the end of the dream, and I thought, I'm going to tell Fern that I saw the Lord. But I couldn't. Every time I tried to tell her at breakfast, I cried. Couldn't tell her what I saw. I came to church and I thought, I'll tell the people I saw the Lord. But when I got here, every time I got up to tell them I saw the Lord, I cried. I just couldn't get it out of me. It was months before I could tell that I had seen the Lord in my yard, sitting under the apple tree. Granddaddy had a bench down under the apple tree, and the Lord was sitting on that bench. Don't ask me what he looked like. It was the Lord. That's all I know. I can't tell you details of his face. I was just so glad to see him. And these people in the first century went through that experience. I mean, they looked up one day and Jesus was walking down the road in front of their house. They looked up one day and Jesus was in their synagogue. They went on Saturday to the synagogue and they discovered that Jesus Christ was in the audience and was going to read the scripture maybe or speak that day. They go down by the seaside and the fishermen were cleaning their nets and getting ready to fish, and they discover that Jesus Christ is walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They see him at times get in a boat. And what would it have been? How would you react? Would you have received him? Would you have talked to him? Would you have been for him, or would you have been against him? Now, it's easy enough for us to take our rose-colored spectacles of time and history and look back and say, oh, if only I had been there. Oh, if only I had been there when Jesus came by. Only if I had been part of that. Jesus addressed that when he was here because he talked about the prophets and the men of old. We're talking about Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the people of the Old Testament. And the religious people of that day and time were saying, oh, if I had only been there, we wouldn't have treated him like that. We wouldn't have put Jeremiah in a dungeon. We wouldn't have treated him like they treated him. And Jesus said, you can't say that. You don't know. And you know, I'm thankful that I was born in a time when there are churches everywhere in America. I'm thankful to be in America, by the way. And I'm thankful that, you know, I was raised in a community that was given over to prayer, given over to Bible reading. People were in the woods praying. People were you'd see them with their Bibles in their house. I'm thankful I was raised in that atmosphere because it was an atmosphere that taught me the gospel. My mother had a big red book that had Bible stories in it. And she read me those stories out of that book and taught me the lessons. She would not let the school bus pick me up in the morning until I had had a prayer with her before we went to school. And one of the great memories of my childhood is the men would have to get up early and go. And that was the days we had one car, if we were lucky, to a family. And mostly the women and children were left in the hollow and the men went out to work. But I can see Mother going around the hill back in the hollow to pray, and I'd hear her voice. And after a while, I'd see Aunt June go around the hill after Mother left, and she'd go out, and I'd hear her voice as she prayed. And later, you'd hear my grandmother, who could not go to the woods, but she would go to the spring house and sit in the summertime and sit on the steps of the spring house and pray. Fact is, I distinctly remember one morning I wanted to go to Grandma's, but I couldn't go because I could hear her praying out at the spring house. And when I didn't hear her praying at the spring house, I decided it was time to go to Grandma's, and I went over there. And what I didn't know was Grandma had gone out in the Spirit. And she didn't pass out. She was in the Spirit. And when I got to the back door and opened the door, Grandma was shouting through the kitchen. She had shouted all the way out from the creek and was dancing through the kitchen and speaking in tongues. And I knew to get out of the way, but I didn't know what was going to happen. So I stood and watched her, and she danced across the yard and down the path. And never mind the customers or that it was a place of business, she danced all the way through Granddaddy's store and out the front door and started up the road and danced all the way up the road. Aunt Inez lived in the trailer in Uncle Roby then, danced through their house, went on up the road to Uncle Ted and Aunt Edna's and danced through the house up there and blessed the whole community. And sometimes when I'd go down the road, I'd hear Sister Helen Cash down there praying as I would go down the road. Sometimes she'd come up to the house and she and Mother, sometimes Sissy Gordon lived over on the hill, she would come. And I'd hear those women praying and seeking the face of the Lord. So I'm thankful I've raised in this atmosphere. You know, and with my rose-colored spectacles, you know, I'm going to say, if Jesus come down the road, Wally, I'm going to run out and see him. And if I know it's him, I know he died on the cross. I know he rose again. I know he sent the Holy Ghost into the world. I know he's preserved the Holy Scriptures through the ages. I know that he's answered prayer for over 2,000 years. I know things these people didn't know. These people didn't know any of that. They weren't raised where the Spirit was moving and all of that going on. So when these Greeks come, they want to see Jesus. They want to see who he is. They want to know what he's about and what he's doing. And Jesus was in the business of meeting people. He wasn't someplace, you know, you see all these holy gurus sitting on the side of the mountain somewhere in the Himalayas up in Nepal or someplace, You see all that going on. Jesus was not some high and lifted up place. Jesus was where the people were. Most of the miracles that Jesus did were not in the temple, nor in the synagogue. Most of the preaching was not in the temple or the synagogue. The greatest miracles and the greatest teachings that Jesus did were where the people worked, where they played, where they raised their children, in their homes and in their streets and in their workplaces. And I'm telling you, God is not a God to be locked up in a building someplace, but God wants to go home with you today. God wants to go to your house. And Jesus came to meet people, and he met all kinds of people. He met doctors and lawyers and priests. You say, he did? Well, how did he get along with them? Well, when he was 12 years old, he met them for the first time, and he astounded them. They looked at this little 12-year-old boy, and they couldn't give him an answer. He couldn't answer. They looked at this little 12-year-old boy, and he told them things out of the law and out of the book of God that just dumbfounded them. And they kept thinking, boy, this little boy is something else. And for 3 days, he had been doing that till Mary and Joseph caught up with him and found him, were terrified that something had happened to him. And he told them, I have to be about my father's business. That's the first time he met the doctors and lawyers and priests. But 18 years later, he was started preaching and doing the work of God. And one of those doctors and lawyers and people from the temple was named Nicodemus. 18 years later, he came to Jesus and he said, I know that nobody can do the work you're doing except he be from God. I want to know what this is all about. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus didn't know what to think because he's an old man and he's thinking, how am I going to be born again? And Jesus began to explain to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And don't be alarmed that I say you must be born again. Everyone that's born of God is just like the wind. He goes on and tells him he's met the doctors and lawyers. Three years later, he meets the doctors and lawyers and priests again. And this time, they've hauled him into court. They've hired witnesses to falsely accuse him. They're talking about him, and they killed him and crucified him. Notice how their reaction to Jesus changed. At first, they're fascinated with this 12-year-old boy that can do this wonderful work. Then they're fascinated because this man that's 30 years old can do this wonderful and marvelous work. But then they're ready to kill him 3 years later. You say, why would anybody want to kill this man who went around doing good, preaching the good news, and doing what it's at? Well, because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. These men were religious. These men were the religious powerhouse of Jerusalem and of Israel. And you know what? They didn't like Jesus. You know why they didn't? Because it threatened their religious position. How sad to see people willing to kill the Lord Himself for religious positions. People still are jealous over their positions in the church and in the world and in the religious world. And they want to stand by. These men were mad because Jesus, when they went to the temple on the Sabbath or to the synagogue, they found that people just sitting around. But when they went out in the street and they found Jesus Christ coming down the street, he was healing the sick and opening the blind eyes and cleansing the lepers and doing all these things and preaching the gospel to the poor. And the people were crying and rejoicing and going with him, not by the hundreds, but by the thousands. And they were against him. So you say, how could it be that people would be against Jesus Christ, as good as he was, as good as he is? How could they be against him to the point that they would harden? And you can see them through the years, from the time he was 12 to the time he was 30 to the time he was 33 years old. You can see their spirits hardened against him. He's not taking over Jerusalem. We've got this place going. And their whole idea was, if you didn't belong to the first church in Jerusalem, you weren't in it at all. Sad that that kind of religion is still in the world, but it is. And then I think about, he met people who were full of the devil. You say, people full of the devil? You mean you haven't met anybody yet full of the devil? You haven't met anybody yet that was full of demons? Maybe you just didn't recognize it. There were people possessed with demons living in, at that day and time. And you say, now, Eddie, we understand that's just old-timey language. That's the way they talked back then. These people really had psychosis of some kind and were psychotic or something. These people had some kind of something like that, and they weren't there. Well, I don't think Jesus made a mistake. I don't think he made a mistake. I think if he said that people were possessed with demons, they were possessed with demons. And he met a man in Gadara who was completely given over to demons. I mean, there were enough demons in him to kill 1,000 hogs. And you think about it. They got to Gadara, and where the boat landed was a cemetery, and people buried back in these hollowed out tombs, mausoleum if you please, in the wall. And there was a man who lived there. Actually, there were probably two of them, but there was a man who lived there, and he was stripped stark naked all the time. He never wore anything. They tried to clothe him. He tore it off. They bound him with chains. They bound him with ropes. They tried to hog tie him and hold him down, and he broke loose from them all. And he lived in the tombs, and everybody was afraid of him. And when Jesus got out, immediately the demons in that man recognized Jesus Christ and said, "Why have you come here to torment us before our time?" Jesus met the demon-possessed man, and when he left him clothed. Hello. He got rid of the devil and he put on some clothes. Put that in your pocket and sit on it. Isn't that what it says? Some people want to say he was clothed in his right mind. That's not what it says. The Bible said he was clothed and in his right mind. And this man who had been naked was clothed and was sitting at the feet of Jesus learning about him when he left. Would you believe the people asked him to leave because of that? He met a man just after he came off the Mount of Transfiguration, whose son had a demon. The apostles had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed over him. They got no place. And Jesus came down and cast the demon out of him. And the same with the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was possessed with a demon. The demon tried to destroy their lives, tried to throw them into, well, did throw them into the fire. And they'd have to fish him out and throw him into places where they would be killed. Jesus met the intelligentsia of religion, and Jesus met the people that were demon-possessed. Jesus met families who were bereaved, who were suffering and hurting because they had had a family loss and someone had died in their family. He and his disciples came up to the city of Nain one day, little town village, and outside the town walls, there was a funeral procession going along. A widow woman who had only one son, and he had died, and they had him on the litter and were carrying him along, and he was dead. And Jesus walked up to it and put his hand out and touched him and said the words over him, and the boy got up and walked away. One day the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, came to him and said, "My little daughter is sick unto death, and would you come and pray for her?" And before he could get there, somebody came and said, "Don't trouble the master, she's dead." Jesus said, "I'm going anyway." And he went there and he went in and he shut the door behind him and he prayed to God and he laid his hands on the little girl and he spoke to her and said, "Little girl, I say unto thee, arise." And she got up and they fed her dinner. One day he came to visit his friends Mary and Martha because they were overwrought with grief and their brother Lazarus had died and been buried 4 days. And yet when Jesus got there, he asked that the stone be rolled away and asked that the tomb be opened. And they said, "Oh no, you can't do that. you can't do that. His body's decaying already. That wouldn't be good. He said, roll the stone away. And when they rolled the stone away, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately him that was dead got up. And I'm sure, because he was wrapped up like a mummy, hopped out into the light, and he said, loose him and let him go. Jesus met the bereaved people of his day and time. And every time he met a dead body, it came to life. Mark that down. Every time he met a dead body, it came to life. He met the afflicted as he walked along the road. He met men who were blind. One man cried out to him, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And somebody said, shh, don't you know he's preaching and teaching? Don't be interrupting the master. And the man knew it. Jesus was walking by. And for the first time, there was hope that he could see again. There was hope that his eyes would be healed. And as Jesus walked by, he kept saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they're saying, be quiet, man, be quiet. And he don't listen. I don't blame him. That's the only hope he's ever going to have. And by the way, it was the last time he was ever in Jericho. And if Bartimaeus had not got healed that day, he never would have been healed. But he cried out, and Jesus healed his eyes and made him whole. And I look at the terrible things, the blind people, the deaf people, the mute people, the lepers who have no hope and are living in a ostracized society, outside of society, and they have no place. People who are paralyzed, people who have been waiting for years for some kind of medical attention and some kind of healing, and it's not there. And yet Jesus met every one of those people. Let me tell you something. Jesus never met a disease that he could not cure and did not cure. Never, ever. And I have to tell you something else. And this will sound funny in America. Jesus talked to women. Jesus met women. Now, that may sound funny today, because if I go to Walmart after a while, which I'm not going to because I'm going to work, but if I went to Walmart after a while and I met ladies that I know in there, we would talk. I would hope you would talk to me. We would talk. You wouldn't be astounded that I talked to you. But in the first century, Jewish men never talked to women in public, including their wife and mother and daughters. Jewish men never talked to women. Women were to have their heads covered and a veil over their faces, and they were to be seen maybe, but never heard. When they went to synagogue, the synagogue was divided. The men stayed over here and worshiped, and the women got to look through a lattice work at them and watch them. The women had no privilege. They did not own land. They did not have public say. They had nothing. But when Jesus came, he elevated womanhood to where it was supposed to be. Jesus talked to women. When he went through Samaria, he sat down on the well curbing, and a woman came to draw water. She was dumbfounded when he spoke to her and asked her for a drink of water. She said, how is it you being a Jew speak to me who art a Samaritan? But the deal was, he was speaking to a woman in public. He was talking to her in public and having a conversation with her like he should have. And he saved her soul, turned her into an evangelist that brought the whole town out. He talked in public to the woman that Earl preached about last week that had the issue of blood. And Jesus talked to her in public and made no bones about it. Jesus talked to Mary Magdalene in public, whom he had cast out 7 devils. And she and Salome and other women traveled with him and ministered to his needs. He elevated women to the place that they belonged. He talked to the rulers of this world. He talked to Herod. He talked to Pilate. He talked to the centurions. And he talked to his antagonists. Do you realize that everywhere Christ went and preached, there was somebody picking at him. Somebody saying, well, but, and somebody trying to quote the scripture, somebody trying to put a question at him that he couldn't answer, somebody trying to do something. The antagonists were there, but yet Jesus talked to his antagonists. And by the way, he never condemned any person except the hypocrites. And them he talked to. And he said, you den of snakes. Wow, that's pretty tough preaching, isn't it? You den of snakes, you brood of vipers, he says. And in the midst of all of these people that he talked to, you know who he had time for? Little children. Sat down, and they brought their babies to him. And he took their babies in their arms, and he blessed them. He got the little children on his laps, and they gathered around him, and he touched them. And they said, don't be bothering him with them young'uns. He's preaching. He's healing. He's casting out demons. This man is doing something important. Don't be bringing those young'uns around here. And Jesus said, you let the little children come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, he said, except you become as one of these little children, you can't get into heaven. Wow. He had time for that. Jesus was a people person. And so the question is, have you met him? Have you met him? He was up to meeting anybody. He was there for the doctors and the lawyers. He was there for the people demon possessed. He was there for the bereaved families, the afflicted and the women and the rulers of the world, the antagonists and the children. Have you met him? I'll tell you what, you'll never be the same again. If you'll meet Jesus Christ and let him be Lord of your life, nothing will ever be the same. Everything's going to change. And I ask you, can you envision Jesus in your life? Can you see Jesus in your life? I'll tell you what, when I sit down at the table, I want Jesus to be sitting at my table. When I go to bed at night, I want Jesus to be in my house. It's a whole lot better than a security system. It's the best security system I know. When I go home this evening, I want to go home and I want Jesus to go with me. So I can envision Jesus in my life. Fact is, Tom, I can't envision life without Jesus. I can't envision life without Jesus. I can't imagine having a home where there's not prayer. I can't imagine having a life that doesn't make Jesus the Lord of my life. And you know what? The longer I serve him, the better he goes. Do you know that? I never forget one day, Fern and I were coming from Cincinnati, and we were just west of Portsmouth, Ohio. And we were driving along great big river bottom down to the Ohio River below us. And I said, you want to go to church? And Fern said, where? And I said, right down there. Somebody is having a Brush Arbor meeting down along the Ohio River. And we drove down there. They'd pulled a farm wagon out for a platform, hooked onto an electric line somewhere and run some pigtails and bare light bulbs over it. And they had guitars. And they were singing. And somebody, they brought their lawn chairs and things like that. And people were sitting on the ground on cars. And they came and we would have sat on the ground, but they gave us their chairs. You know what I remember about that meeting? They were singing, sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I get happy in this heavenly way. Sweeter gets the journey every day. I don't know who those people were. I don't know what their names were. I know one thing. They had a woman could sing. They said Sister Jane's going to sing a song, and she got one of them little paperback hymnals and wrung the back around on it, you know, and looked at it, and she was barefooted, and she had on a navy dress, a little white collar, and she was obviously country as country could be. And I said, now, Eddie, keep your mouth straight and your face straight, because you're going to hear some caterwauling now. Because I just figured this girl is going to be off tune and out of shape and all of that. And I'll tell you, that girl, she obviously didn't have much and obviously was country, but she raised his hand to God and held the hymn book in his hand. Sweetest voice you ever heard floated out across that Ohio River and blessed it. I tell you what, it gets better every day.
Amen.
You know, I've met people that I thought, man, that's the greatest woman or the greatest man. That's the best person that ever was. And I just so carried away with them. And the longer I knew them, the worse they got. And the more I knew about them, the less I liked them. It's never been that way with Jesus. I've been serving Jesus, I don't know how long, but since I was 14 years old, and I'm 72 this year. But I can tell you, I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I can say with Nellie Mooney, every step has been worthwhile. And I can say with the Happy Goodman family, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. It's been worth it to serve the Lord. It's been worth it to know Him. So I have to ask you a question. Have you been seeking a meeting with the Lord? Have you been seeking a meeting with the Lord? Have you been saying, God, I'd like to meet you today? I mean, you know, sometimes we just sort of date the church. Sometimes we just come once in a while for a date with the church, and we don't have the Lord any other time. But I have to tell you, I want to meet the Lord. Remember that little song we used to sing in grade school? Yeah, when I was in grade school, we could sing hymns in America. And the teacher could pray. Amen?
Amen.
It sure could. But we'd sing whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening, just to keep your heart in tune. Miss Cadle used to come on the Cadle Gospel Hour that came over the radio years ago. And she began every program by singing, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you think to pray? My brothers and sisters, Jesus came to meet people. And Jesus did meet people. And He met all kinds of people. And every life that He met was touched by Him. Have you sought Him? Are you willing to meet Him this morning? Do you want to meet Him? I'm not talking about in the air. I want you to be ready to meet Him in the air. But I'm talking about, are you ready to meet Jesus today in your car? You say, Jesus, be in my car? Sometimes that's the best place to pray, Wally.
Amen.
You know, is get in the car and cut the radio off and cut the air conditioner on. And I don't hear nothing else. I don't see nothing else. I can ride along and talk to Jesus. Sometimes the best place to pray is in the woods or in the cornfield. I've had some awful good prayers in the cornfield. Sometimes back in the mountains. All that mess going on back there in the mountains now, I can tell you where that branch crosses the road out there where the old sawmill used to be. One day I'd been fasting and praying. And was walking through there, and just about before I got to the branch, and I wasn't paying attention. I was paying attention to the Lord. Holy Ghost come down, and I went to shouting. He said, you didn't have any music. Who said I need any music to shout? And he said, well, it wasn't anybody there to see. I wasn't shouting for them. I was shouting for joy. I was shouting because I love the Lord. And I was dancing in the road, and I danced right through the branch. I knew that after I come out and was wet. But I just danced through the branch and praised God through the branch. Have you been seeking the Lord? I mean, you're never going to get anywhere. Good Lord, good beans, good God, let's eat. You're not going to get anywhere on that. You're not going to get anywhere just dribbling a little prayer out and saying something to the Lord. How about talking to Him? I mean, if Fern comes and talks to me and I'm saying, I mean, it's going to get chilly. It's not going to be. When I talk to my wife or my wife talks to me, I ought to look her right in the face and talk to her. Amen?
Amen.
What's sad is people don't look the Lord in the face. They got to. You're not going to get anywhere in prayer life. And you say, well, them formal people in town. Nah, Pentecostals do it. They get down and say, praise God, glory to God, hallelujah, bless His name. Oh, God, do it. And their mind's 100 miles away.
True. All they're doing is making a racket, sounding bright and tinkling cymbals. My brothers and sisters, we need to talk to Jesus and seek his face. Sir, they said to the disciples, we'd like to see Jesus. I want to see him in my house. I want to see him in my business. I want to see him wherever he's at. And I want to be able to go down the road singing, he's all over me and he's keeping me alive. Amen? Amen. If you don't stand up and you don't go up there and sing, I'm going to be preaching this time tomorrow. Because I got something to say for the Lord. Amen? Amen? Father, we just thank you so much for the service. Thank you for the fellowship of your Spirit. Thank you for the grace of God. And Lord, I thank you that we can have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I ask you to walk down this hall today and meet these people. I ask you to walk in their homes and walk in their towns. Lord, walk in the White House, walk in the Congress. Lord, come and walk among us. Oh, Jesus, walk around us, Jesus, walk around. And Lord, we pray the Spirit of God will invigorate us and fill us with your Spirit, and with your power, and with your grace. Father, we will not fail to praise you, but give you honor and glory in Jesus' precious and eternal name. Congregation said, amen.